Andy Goldstrom is a successful business entrepreneur and owner of a real estate company that became an Inc. 500 company. But when his daughter started experiencing extreme anxiety and depression, he needed to rethink his relationships with his family, and he needed to find a solution. You do not want to miss Andy's interview.
Have you ever felt like giving up, quitting, throwing in the towel? Welcome to Never Ever Give Up Hope featuring Carol Graham. She's an author, health coach, and motivational speaker. Backed into a corner multiple times in her life, Carol shares with you stories on how she overcame some of the toughest obstacles a person can go through in life, but refused to give up hope. Rather than admit defeat, an opportunity was presented, and it involves each and every one of you. Carol will feature spectacular guests who will share their messages of hope, encouragement, and their inspiration to prove why life's adversities only make you stronger. And now, welcoming the host of the show, here's Carol Graham.
Andy Goldstrom changed his focus and offers parent coaching, family coaching, transition and aftercare service, and a series of workshops. He hosts a podcast called Winning Parenting, offered on all the well-known podcast apps. So I really appreciate Andy's story today of both how he came to the place where he is now and also the services that he is offering this audience. Welcome, Andy.
Hey, thank you for having me. Really nice to be on your show.
So let's start with your backstory, Andy. Let's start with your childhood and take it wherever you would like. Thank you.
I had an okay childhood and lived in a rural part of Connecticut, not too far from New York City, but in a nice country town that only had one stoplight. And so spent a lot of time outside. My parents divorced when I was 12 and kind of left me in the middle between them with my younger sister. And so I experienced some shame and blame. I experienced some financial hardships. It was difficult because I didn't have the parents who kind of empathized with me, met me where I was at, because they were struggling on their own, trying to figure out how to make their way in the world in this next chapter in their lives. And so the downside is I didn't have the compassion or the understanding, and I didn't have the dad who would, I could talk to about, girlfriend trouble or how to fix my car or, do things that dads would do, throw a ball, so that was problematic. But the good side is it made me a lot more independent, and I've been independent and entrepreneurial for, as long as I can remember. I had to start working at basically 12, 13 years old, finding stuff to do. And so, my childhood was really impacted by that. The good news is I became industrious, and I have a place in my heart for, parents who are going through the tough time when it comes to divorce, when it comes to, what kids are going through when parents don't align well, even if they're together. And so, that's kind of the long story short of my childhood.
Did you notice that void, like because maybe your friends weren't in that same area, same situation, or how did that affect you?
It affected me in a couple ways. One was divorced kids weren't nearly as common. So
right,
I definitely
right.
felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb in my community a little bit. All my friends, their parents were still together but I think so I did notice some of that. I think the biggest thing was there were some things that I didn't get to do as a kid because of financial considerations, that my you know, that my peers got to do. They got to go on vacations. They got to go on trips, student trips. They got to do other things that I wasn't able to do that, you know, because of the situation I was in. And, you know, I am here where I am today, but I remember a couple key moments in my childhood. One was right after the divorce. I still wanted to have a birthday party. I was trying to feel my way through the world.
Yes.
And my mother and my dad wasn't around, and my mother didn't have the financial wherewithal or the headspace to kind of chaperone or sponsor it. So I ended up at 12 years old paying for my own birthday party.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, that was an interesting moment. And then there was an overseas trip to Spain. I happened to be pretty good at Spanish and some of the other academic areas, but Spanish was one of the areas, and I couldn't go. There was just no, you know, having a birthday party is one thing. Mm-hmm. Trying to take an overseas trip is a different thing. And I saw a lot of my peers went. I was encouraged to go. I just couldn't go. So, you know, you live and learn. And you deal with the deck of cards that are put in front of you.
Were you angry?
I didn't know any different.
Okay.
You know, I ended up going to State U. I went to the University of Connecticut. Two of my best friends that I'm still in touch with from my childhood went to Yale. They were very bright. I was pretty bright. They had, you know, more resources to be able to go to an Ivy League school. They didn't end up, you know, they've both done well in their careers. I've done fine in my career, so it's not like, you know, that created a launching pad that was so much different than what I got. So you make the most of what you have.
Exactly.
I think that's the punchline.
So how did what happened to you as a child affect what you are doing now?
There are a lot of people who react differently to the trauma or the strife that they went through as kids. And there are a lot of kids who've had it worse than I have. I never had to worry about food on the table or, you know, a roof over my head or, you know, clothing on my back or,
right,
you know, having friends or certain activities. So there were certain things I had to sacrifice, but, you know, a lot of kids who go through those traumas will either, you know, some kids will lash out because they're responding in a way that they feel a lack of control and understanding, and they'll lash out and cause trouble or cause problems. I kind of took the opposite way. I kind of wanted, I was seeking more validation. And so I tried to go out of my way to kind of be kind and go out of my way for people. And it's kind of my way. So throughout my career, you know, one of the reasons my real estate company did well and I've done well in other ventures is just because I know how to connect with people and I know how to deliver. I know how to deliver and I do it with vigor and passion, but I do it with kindness. And so, you know, that's kind of what I bring to the table. And in the parent coaching, which I'll talk about more, you know, I get the results. I have great Google reviews and great feedback, but a lot of it is about the process. You know, do people feel understood? Do they feel supported? Do they feel like, you know, I can track with them at their moment in time? And so, being a guy also makes a difference. There aren't a lot of male parent coaches, I can connect with the guys who don't want to, aren't as vulnerable, as well as the women who, you know, need the support as well.
Give us an idea of whether it's hypothetical or something that actually happened, of someone who has gone through this type of parent coaching and what the results were, what the problem was, etc. Like, paint a picture for us.
Most parents are really struggling with their kids in one way, shape, or form. I can read a quote. It's from a book called The Audacity to Be You. And it says, with our children and partners, we learn there are good times and bad times. Children and partners aren't perfectly designed for us, and we're not perfectly designed for them. They have their own wishes and ways of being. We want to interact positively with them, but at times they drive us crazy. So what happens is parents have their dreams and wishes. There's no manual for parenting. And a lot of parents who call me, they're struggling with their kid. Their kid is misbehaving. Their kid is not doing well in school. Their child is doing drugs. They just feel like they don't know how to best parent their kid, and they're being proactive about it. Those are the best kind. But most often parents are looking for, how do I get my child to do this? How do I fix my child? And the fact of the matter is it's not about fixing the child. It's about changing the parent's reaction to things. So it's how does the parent behave in a way that takes the pressure off them, because they don't have to carry the weight of their kid's success and happiness. The kid has to do that. And what can a parent do to be present and supportive and understanding and engaging and curious that enables that to come out?
So is this what you mean when you said, how do you empower your children to reduce your parental stress?
100%. So it's giving them the ability and the tools to solve their own problems and being there to support them and bounce those ideas off of. And most parents get it and understand it and can make that shift. The hard part is, if trust has been lost, how do you rebuild that and do it in a way that doesn't take months and months and years and years? And so that's, so two of the things I work on is how to change your behavior towards your spouse or partner and children and others. And then, how do you earn that trust back so that your child will open up and trust you and allow you to support them in the right way, where they can pursue what they want to pursue, not what the parent wants them to pursue?
Do you ever have clients that come to you before they even have children, or when their children are very young?
Younger.
Okay.
But not typically below 8 or 9 years old.
Okay.
Typically, parents see something that bothers them about their kid.
Okay.
Either my kid's not doing well in school right now. My kid's misbehaving early. I'm seeing some signs and trying to get ahead of it, and I don't know what to do. Or the child's a little older and is going through the hormonal phase, or is after that and is trying to find their way through the world and is not navigating it well, and it's affecting other parts of their life which isn't productive. The parents ultimately, when you ask them, do you want your kid to go to college? They'll say yes. Do you want your kid to have a partner and they get married and have kids? Yes. And they'll say those things, but ultimately it boils down to, I just want my kid to be happy and independent. Everything else nothing else matters, other than maybe being healthy. If they decide to get married or not married, that's their choice. If they decide to go to, if they decide that their college is right for them, or postgraduate, or going to school here or doing that there, depends upon what their goals are and what they want to do and how they're going to be supported. Right. So I had one client once who got into some heavy drugs because the father was a successful lawyer and became and put pressure on the daughter to become a successful lawyer. Championed her to go to the same Ivy League school that he went to. She was following the same track because of his influence, and ultimately that wasn't what she wanted, and she fell apart. She had to drop out of school.
Wow.
In fact, good news is she recovered It didn't take a and actually is a lawyer now, and has a has a has a family with two kids, and is doing quite well. But she took a pretty hard turn before she decided it was something that she could do, that she wanted to do on her terms.
Now, do you ever do therapy with the whole family? Like, do you do the parents first and then possibly include, the children, or is that not happening?
No, I do that, but and I'm asked to do that. But what I want to make sure of is that the parents are aligned, or the parents are
Right.
communicating in the right way, so that when I bring the kids on, it's not a, it's not chaos. The kids can understand where the parents are coming from. The kids can understand that the parents are putting in the work, so they respect that. And then I can hear from the kids in terms of what they want and how they feel they're journey is, and where they can their parents can best support them. So I work with families frequently, but I want to make sure that the parents are aligned first. And so I meet with the parents first to make sure that the individual parent or the partners or the mother and father have done their work. And when they meet with the kids, they have some credibility with the kids. Because they're doing the work too, and then I engage with the kids to find out what their wants and needs are and how the parents can best support them, and then I work with the parents further on that to help make that happen. So that's kind of my process. Ironically, I have some clients who are actually in the midst of divorce, so they're in a tough situation and they're going through the legal channels. And I get recommended by family lawyers to actually work with one of the sets of parents or both parents and and also the kids who are going through this stressful time of change. And having gone through it myself when I was a kid, I'm still married. I've been married for over 30 years, but as a child, having gone through it, I certainly know what it feels like from a kid's standpoint. And so I actually do engage with the kids a little bit more frequently when it comes to those specific situations, which are tough.
Are there a lot of parent coaches out there? Like, I've never heard of parent coaching before.
There are. The barriers to entry aren't high. Anybody can say, hey, I'm a parent, and then put a flag out there and put a website out. This is what makes me different. There are four things. One is, I've experienced challenges with my child. We actually ended up sending her away for advanced treatment to a program. So we actually had to make the investment and make the decision to send her away to get help beyond what we could actually find for her locally or do ourselves. So it took a big decision. We had a lot of grief. We had a lot of anxiety. Frankly, she's 24 now, lives with her boyfriend and works, so it was worth doing as hard as it was at the time. But so I can put myself in the position of a parent that's struggling, because I struggled with my kids. Second thing is, I invested in parent coaching. So when my child was at a program, rather than just expecting that the program was going to fix her, my wife and I realized that we were part of the problem. And we invested in the parent coaching and figured out what we needed to do to align better, how we needed to communicate with our child better, and make sure that the therapy was she was getting when she got home, it was able to stick, and we wouldn't revert to old habits. So that was the second thing. The third thing is, I got certified as a parent coach. So I went through 2-year-long programs that basically had classwork. It had testing, it had coaching sessions where we mirrored and got feedback, and then amongst each other, and then live coaching sessions where we had to do enough hours in order to actually get certified, and then there was a final exam. And so and one of them is associated with the International Coaching Federation, which is the biggest organization for coaching in the world. So the fact that the program I went through recognized that made a big difference. And then the fourth thing is, I'm a guy, as I mentioned before. So the fourth thing, again, the four things are, I had a child who struggled, so we struggled. invested in parent coaching, saw the benefit of it and believe in it, certified as a parent coach, and actually leveraged my business experience in connecting with people. And I'm a guy.
Excellent points. Thank you. Now we're going to take a short 15-second break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. We'll be right back.
Carol Graham would like to show you the path from misery to miraculous triumph in her fast-paced memoir, Battered Hope. She relates her determination to succeed as someone who experienced one horrendous nightmare after another. Gang raped and left for dead, loss of a child, husband falsely imprisoned, and cancer. Nothing could break her tenacity or faith. No matter what you face, heartache, loss, suffering, or injustice, Carol will illustrate how she became a victor the same way you can. The secret is to never, ever give up hope. Order your copy at Amazon or batteredhope.blogspot.com.
Andy Goldstrom is a parent coach, and he is sharing a lot of insight that I never really looked at before. Now, I'm a grandparent, so we haven't had, that doesn't mean that we still don't continue being a parent, right?
No, that's very right.
And we also learn things where the mistakes that we possibly made as parents. And so it's always good to hear another person's take on it. And I appreciate what you're saying. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about things that I wish I had changed. And I'm sure you hear that often from your clients, that if only we had done this. And there's probably some guilt around that as well. So we're going to continue our conversation and possibly address that. And then also, when and why should someone engage a parent coach?
Those are really good points and good questions. Work with parents all the time who have this sense of guilt that their child isn't progressing and isn't flourishing as they had hoped. You know, every parent wants their child to have a better life than they did. And when it's not taking the route that they expected, not to say that they can't get there, they feel that guilt. And you look in the rearview mirror and you see challenges. What I tell parents is that you did your best, whatever that was, with the information you had, with how you felt physically and emotionally, with the resources you had, you did your best. We did our best. With our daughter, we hired a therapist. We had tutors. We had an IEP in the school. We had a psychiatrist. It wasn't enough, you know, and so we experienced some pain as a result of that. My daughter, you know, did drugs. She was leaving the house in the middle of the night and doing some dangerous stuff, and eventually not going to school. And so that's when we realized we had to take some more drastic action. And so I looked back I felt guilty about it. What could I have done better? But at the end of the day, we did the best we could. You know, we just had to keep moving forward. And what I tell parents is there's a reason that your rear view window in your car is smaller than the window in the front of your car. It's because you need to spend more time looking forward. And so I help parents, you know, when they can see a path, when they work with me, they get that spark and that bit of optimism and that shift. And then when they see some things change, when they work with me, it really inspires them. So I hadn't mentioned it up until now, but my practice is called Parents Journey Coaching. The website is parentsjourneycoaching.net, and it's a journey. There are ups and downs. Right. There's no straight line. And again, it's about empowering your kids. And, you know, and I work with parents of children who are typically 8 to 28.
Even kids who
were adults who have, they came home from COVID and they have failure to launch. They can't get back out there. Mostly teenage kids. But when a parent is struggling, basically doesn't, you know, the things that they're trying at home or trying with their partner or spouse or individually just aren't working, and the child isn't responding to the parent and things are getting worse, the impact that a parent has on a child through their childhood is immense. And so You know, when I talk about the return on investment in working with me and having a better relationship with your child and a better path for them to be independent and happy, you know, that's priceless. And when I'm helping to achieve that, I know that's where I knew I had my calling for sure. And so, you know, and I offer free discovery sessions. I didn't get into this because I could make the most money.
Right.
I did it because I wanted to help people and I was able to make a pivot. And so I'm happy to have a free discovery call with people. And so what I do is I'm able to, if you schedule a call with me on my website, there's a access to my calendar, you know, and you can just say what your issue is or what you're thinking about.
Right.
And without any sales pitch, I'm happy to engage and provide some guidance and some thoughts based upon my training and my experience, and help provide some support.
Well, things certainly have changed in the last 5 to 10 years than probably when you first started coaching. And one of the things that I see because of my grandchildren now in school and what is happening in the schools, one in particular would be parents now having challenges with their children identifying as animals, for example. Have you encountered this, and how do you approach that?
Things are a little bit different right now. Kids always had challenges in school and that they needed to find their way. They have, you know, they have social pressures. They have academic pressures.
Right, right.
They have, it's always been that way. But in school, but since the advent of the smartphone,
right,
and all the apps that go along with it, there's a lot more information coming at us.
Right, right.
And kids have trouble processing it and understanding what's real, what's not real. They have a lot of trouble in comparing themselves to others because people put stuff online that makes them look in their best light. And then when there's bullying, if you got bullied at school, 2 o'clock when school ended or whenever it ended, you come home, school's over. You can, and you at least had some respite. Nowadays, it's a 24/7 thing.
Good point.
So what does that do? It makes kids try to lash out a little bit, potentially, to show what makes them unique, to actually get some positive feedback. And some of them don't, some of them, you know, are related to their sexuality or LGBTQ. It has nothing to do with any argument or discussion around whether they decided to do it or at birth. I believe it's a birth thing, but you know, historically people couldn't come out comfortably, but now they're coming out more comfortably, or they're deciding to come out as an animal in a unique circumstance, or doing something different that seems outlandish. And again, all the kids are trying to do is just be themselves and trying to cope and trying to be understood and trying to have a sense of control. And so it's, you know, and there are parents who are very conservative who have a very hard time with it.
Exactly.
Because they weren't brought up that way. And my answer to them is, okay, well, this is 2024. It's not the way you were brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you were brought up isn't necessarily the right way. It's just the way you're programmed. So you have to figure out how to meet your child where they're at and provide them the support that they need.
And has that helped? Do you see progress?
100%. I mean, it's not easy because people are stuck in their ways, right? I worked with a family once where the father was from the north and the mother was from the south, and the father was, you know, used to discipline and the mother was used to understanding. You know, there are four types of parenting. One is called authoritative, which is the best type, authoritative. And that's where you're demanding, but have empathy and connection. That's the best kind. There's authoritarian, which is you're not connected, but you're demanding, which is the worst, which is not a good, not a good way to be. There are permissive parents who are connecting and understanding, but don't know how to set a boundary, don't know how to really parent. They're just allowing their kid to walk all over them and do what they want. And then there are parents who are just totally uninvolved. And those are ones who don't set any boundaries and aren't connected at all. And so I try to, most parents are either authoritarian, meaning too demanding, or they're too permissive. And so what I try and do is work with them to move towards the authoritative parenting style as best they can handle. And if I can get one out of the two parents to do it, it makes a difference as long as the other parents, as long as the other parents aligned with it. So it's being demanding and consistent. Kids actually like structure. They like being,
yes,
told.
I believe that
they like to, they like having boundaries. It's like, you know, stay in your lane is usually a good thing, as long, you know, because it gives them comfort and safety. They know where to go. They know what to do. That's how I support parents.
Very well stated. Thank you. You have two statements that I have in front of me I'd like you to share. The first one is, knowledge equals experience plus information. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that works in business as well as, you know, in your home life and your parenting life. And, you know, the way I look at it is you can read a bunch of books, listen to a bunch of podcasts and have a bunch of information, but until you bump into the world and experience it, you can't really, you can't really understand, you can't really get accepted or have rejection and learn from it. And so knowledge is, you know, being able to learn, but also test. That's what I do in my parent coaching. I actually look at some different approaches, but then we got to go test it. And then we got to see how it worked and modify it and adjust and make it stick. And so as I've aged, I've gained perspective and recognized that some of those little things don't matter and you can only control what you can control. And each of us has choices how we face adversity. And those who choose to make it a learning experience can propel forward as opposed to those who don't, where it weighs you down.
What would you like to share in summary?
Well, I think the summary is parenting isn't easy and it's a journey. And that parents are doing their best and you should feel like you're doing your best. But if you need some extra support with somebody who has seen the movie and knows how to help parents,
good.
Feel free to reach out at parentsjourneycoaching.net. Happy to help out. And just recognize it's about the way that you respond to your kids that has the impact. It's not about your kids' behavior or what your kid is doing. It's how you respond and how you process it and how you carry it with you to make your kid's life and your life the best it could be.
Let's put that into a bumper sticker. The way you respond to your kids.
The way you respond to your kids enables your kids to be the best they can be.
Perfect. The way you respond to your kids enables them to be the best they can be. And so, Andy, in summary, how does what you shared today help parents to never, ever give up hope?
The name of your podcast and what your podcast is about having hope, is really what it's all about. And the fact is that parents do give up hope and they need support. They need a path. They need to not feel stigmatized. They need to feel understood. And, you know, when you get engaged in parent coaching, it can help provide that path. And so I help, you know, my practice, again, is called Parents Journey Coaching, but it could be, you know, parental hope or something like that, because it really does provide meaningful hope and outcomes for parents. And so I appreciate being on this podcast as a result of that synergy.
I hear your passion and your desire and compassion to help people. And for that, I thank you. And thank you again for being on Never Ever Give Up Hope.
Thank you for listening to Never Ever Give Up Hope, featuring Carol Graham. Did you know that most people succeed because they are determined to? Quitting was never an option. Carol loves your comments and will respond to each one. So please subscribe and review this podcast. A rating of 5 stars would be outstanding and appreciated. Remember, if you are still here, there is always hope.